To some people, the distant whistle of passing trains are like remembered lullabies. But to Gordon Gray, turning and twisting on his bed, those whistles are a maddening reminder that time is passing all too slowly, and that he is still unable to fall asleep. In the dark, his fingers grope for a cigarette. He strikes a match. Then, with an exclamation of disgust, he puts the thing down. There's no flavor. No flavor in living this way. Fear and dread, waiting, just waiting. At the very next whistle, his tortured nerves give way.
Aunt Sally!
Gordon, darling, what's the matter?
Please turn on the light. Aunt Sally, I can't stay in this bed any longer. I'm not tired or sleepy. I want to get out of this room, out of the house, even for a little while.
But, Gordon, it's past midnight. In the morning, we'll go out for a nice long walk.
No, I want to go out now. You don't know what it's like, being helpless like this.
I know, Gordon, but soon it'll all be over. After your operation...
After the operation. Aunt Sally, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Then we won't talk about it, dear. Now, try to go to sleep, won't you? Good night. I said good night, Gordon.
Good night, Aunt Sally.
That's better. I've turned off the light.
She left the room, and I listened in the dark for the rustling of the trees outside my window. But the only sound was an endless freight train. And as it faded toward New York, I thought I could almost hear the molecules dancing in the lifeless air. But then... sounds become all too vivid to the ears of a man who is blind. I lay there in the dark, my ear resting on my wristwatch, listening to the minutes tick away. Fast galloping seconds, but long, dark minutes. I waited till I thought Aunt Sally and Uncle Henry were asleep. Then, when the house was still, I got out of bed, dressed, and quietly sneaked out of the house. As soon as I reached the sidewalk, I began counting my footsteps as I walked, so that I could find my way back to the house. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. I had reached the corner and turned back for the house. When I had again measured off my 208 steps, I moved up the walk leading to the front porch and into the house. I started up the steps to my bedroom, and then I heard...
You better go,
Kate. Darling,
I said you better go. Stop playing that piano, it's late.
You still like this song.
I even liked you once. Now please get out of my apartment and out of my life. You have all you want from me. It's time you lived up to your part of our bargain.
Bargain? Did we have a bargain, darling?
You promised to leave town as soon as I gave you the money.
Oh, you mean this $5,000. Well, now, surely you don't call that money. Not a man with your bank account.
You promised. Less than 30 minutes ago.
Listen to me, Gimpy. You might as well face the facts of life. I'm a woman who knows a good thing when I see it. I'll let you know when I think you've paid enough.
That's all I wanted to get this. I know that you have no intention of ever ending this extortion. What are you laughing at?
Oh, that walk of yours, that foot you drag along, Gimpy. You look like... Gimpy, stay away from me. Stay away. Gimpy, put down that knife. Gimpy, I was only kidding. I was only...
Don't do it! Don't kill her!
Stay where you are, my friend. You're too late.
She's dead.
You have eyes. Whoever you are, you've seen too much. have nothing against you, but for obvious reasons.
Go ahead. You're a very brave man. You've killed a woman. So I can't expect any consideration merely because I'm blind.
Blind?
Look at my eyes. If you don't believe.
You are blind. How'd you get into this house?
I don't know. I was out walking and I lost my way.
For once, you're blind. It's a blessing. Stay where you are.
What are you going to do?
We'll find out soon. Here they are. Follow this, Captain.
What is it? Poison?
Swallow it and don't ask questions.
No, I won't.
Which do you prefer, the capsule or the knife?
Give me the capsule.
Better. Here's some water. I'm sure you'll find the pill very helpful in soothing your nerves.
I think he's coming around now, ma'am. How's about putting some more ice on his head?
I hope it's all right, officer. I'm tired. Oh.
Gordon.
Gordon, can you hear me?
Sally? I
don't try to get up here. You're to stay in bed. Doctor's orders.
That's right, young man. Better listen to your aunt.
Who are you?
I've never heard your voice before.
He's a police officer, Gordon.
Policeman. But I don't understand. How did I get here in my room? It couldn't have been a dream.
Well, could have been. I found you in the empty lot just down the block, sleeping like a babe you were.
And it wasn't a dream. Officer, I got into the wrong house by mistake. There was a murder. A man called Gimpy killed a woman named Kate.
Gordon, what are you talking about?
She was blackmailing him, so he killed her. I saw it. I mean, I was just outside the room when it happened.
Oh, Gordon, why let yourself get all excited? You just had a bad dream.
It wasn't a dream. Listen to me. There was a murder, and I was there. I was there when I saw it.
The next day, when Aunt Sally took me for a walk in the park, she told me that the police had investigated and found nothing. Maybe the whole thing had been a dream. But in my ear, I could still hear the sound of Gimpy's dragging foot.
Tired, Gordon?
Well, not a bit, Aunt Sally.
I'm glad you're looking much better. I think the sunshine will do you a world of good.
It's been so long since I saw the sun, I've almost forgotten what it looks like.
I talked to Dr. Edwards this morning. Hmm? He's confident the operation will be a success.
Well, I hope so.
Oh, here's a bench, Gordon. Now, you sit here till I get back. I'm going to do my shopping for supper.
All right. You won't be gone long, will you?
Only 45 minutes or an hour at most. Now, remember, wait here. Goodbye, Gordon.
I'll be here, Aunt Sally. Bye. I leaned back on the park bench. Somewhere, children were playing happily. I heard old man Moran and his carriage go by. The sun was warm and restful. A little too restful. I dozed off. How long I was asleep, I don't know. But as I half wakened, a strange thing happened. I shivered. I was sitting in the hot afternoon sun, yet I shivered. With that strange razor-edged sixth sense a blind man has, I knew that someone was watching me. Aunt Sally. Aunt Sally, is that you? At that first twisted sound, I knew who was watching me. It was Gimpy. He was coming toward me. For a split second, I forgot that I was blind. Without thinking, I ran. But the winding path was too much for me. I felt my foot hook under the wire of a low fence bordering the path. My body plunged forward, and I sprawled headlong on the grass. I heard him coming nearer and nearer. I couldn't move. And there was only one thing to do. Help! Somebody help! For the love of heaven, help! Help! Aunt Sally! Aunt Sally! Did you see him?
See who?
The killer. The man with the lame foot. He was here.
Gordon, there's no one here except some children.
And take me home, Aunt Sally. Quick. I don't want him watching me.
For the next 2 weeks, I stayed in the house. Aunt Sally begged me to go out for a walk in the sun, but I wasn't going to budge until it was time to go to the hospital for my operation. I knew that someday I'd see again. If only I got to the operating table alive.
As I imagine Nolan's life and what I've seen and heard of it, he must have been...
After that, Aunt Sally took the reading to me every night after supper.
He must have known
Shakespeare, the Bible, Time Magazine, short stories. Sometimes she'd finish a whole book before I'd fall asleep.
She told me once with a grave smile
that... Aunt Sally.
Yes, Gordon. Had enough for the night?
Aunt Sally. Do you hear it?
Hear what? I don't hear anything, dear.
You must hear him. You must. Look out of the window. He's walking by the house.
Gordon, stop it. I tell you, I don't hear anything, and neither do you.
I do. I do.
I'm going to call the doctor.
Aunt Sally, don't leave me.
Hello, operator. Can you live at 029?
Maybe she hadn't heard Gimpy. A blind man's ears can hear things other folks can't. By now, his dragging footstep was gone. But the warning it had sent through the open window of my room stayed with me. Somewhere outside, he was waiting for me. With the patience of a cat waiting for a mouse.
Yes. Yes, I want to speak to Dr. Edwards, please. What? Oh, but that's impossible. He was to operate on my nephew day after tomorrow. Well, when did it...
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
But what about the operation?
Oh, I see. But you are sure he's competent.
Well, Dr. Edwards had examined Gordon several times, so he knew exactly what had to be done.
I understand. Yes. Yes, he'll be there. Goodbye.
Aunt Sally, what's the matter?
It's bad news, Gordon. Dr. Edwards died late this afternoon.
Died? How?
A heart attack.
A heart attack?
Are they sure? Whatever made you say a thing like that?
Sometimes it might look like a heart attack and be something else.
Something else? What are you getting at, Gordon?
Nothing. Nothing at all, Aunt Sally. What about the operation?
That will go as scheduled. Dr. Edward's practice will be taken over by another eye surgeon, a friend of his.
But this new man doesn't know about my case. He doesn't know whether...
He will, Gordon. He'll study all his history from Dr. Edward's files. And see if you can get some sleep. You need it with the operation only 2 days away.
The evening before the operation, Aunt Sally took me to the hospital. And the nurse was making out a report on my physical condition. I was glad it wasn't a report on my mental state.
Well, that's all for now, Mr. Gray. I've got to turn this report in to Dr. Johnson. Is there anything I can get for you before I go?
No, nurse. Nothing.
Well, if there should be, there's a call bell hanging right on the head of your bed. Here it is. Feel it?
Oh, yes, thank you. Nurse?
Yes?
Is Dr. Johnson here in the hospital now?
Why, I don't know. I haven't seen him this evening.
But maybe he won't be here tomorrow. Maybe you'd better call him right now. I want to make sure he's all right.
You're just nervous about the operation. I can see that.
No.
There's nothing the matter with Dr. Johnson.
I hope you're right.
Well, I'll have to go now. We're very short of nurses. Now, remember, just push the button if you want anything.
All night I couldn't sleep because I was thinking. Do you know what I was thinking on that hospital bed? That Gimpy had murdered Dr. Edwards. Somehow he had found out that Dr. Edwards was going to operate on me. So he killed him. He could have done it. He would do anything to keep me from seeing again. Because he knew that as soon as I could use my eyes, I'd find him and turn him over to the police for murder. That's what I was still thinking in the morning, as I waited for them to come and take me to the operating... Then I heard him again, right here in the hospital. He was walking along the corridor outside my room. Maybe he was looking for me, or for Dr. Johnson. He'd already killed a woman named Kate, and maybe Dr. Edwards, too. Why should he hesitate? One more murder. As Gimpy's dragging footstep died away, I tried to call for someone. I couldn't. My voice was frozen in my throat. The call bell. The call bell on the head of my bed. I groped for it. And pressed it. Nothing happened. As I waited, I changed my mind about telling what I had heard. They wouldn't believe me. And there was always the possibility that they'd postpone the operation because of my disturbed state of mind. I couldn't let that happen. I'd waited too long for this day. I wanted to have it over to...
See, the call light over your door is on. What can I do for you?
I was just wondering, nurse. Do you think you could get me a cup of coffee?
Oh, I'm afraid not. No stimulants this morning.
As a matter of fact, I've got something here for your nerves.
Nurse, did you see Dr. Johnson?
No, but he's here somewhere in the hospital.
Oh, good.
Now, look, Mr. Gray, there's nothing to worry about. Dr. Johnson is a very competent eye surgeon, one of the best.
When do I go up?
It won't be long now. Drink your medicine.
Oh, what'd you say it is?
Just something to settle your nerves. Drink it down. That's it. All of it.
Oof. It must be wonderful medicine. It tastes so terrible.
Here, let me fix your pillow.
Oh, thanks.
There. Comfortable?
Oh, fine, thanks. Oh, this is very comfortable.
That nerve stuff she gave me was sleeping medicine. I don't even remember her leaving the room.
Inhale.
The next thing I knew was that I had a mask over my face.
That's
it. It was hard to breathe.
Inhale.
The stuff I was inhaling made me a little sick.
Breathe.
It was ether.
Now, inhale.
I didn't need eyes to know that I was in the operating room.
Everything ready?
Yes, but Dr. Johnson will want to check when he comes in.
Where is he now?
In the dressing room. He ought to be here in a moment.
Isn't this the case Dr. Edwards was supposed to handle?
Yes.
Too bad he had to die so young. He was a great eye surgeon. But then I have no...
Here comes Dr. Johnson.
Dr. Johnson was here. What a relief. A great weight was lifted from my heart. But only for a moment. Because through the fog of my half-dead mind, I heard the dragging footstep of the man who was going to operate on my eyes.
We'll proceed with the operation.
I wanted to cry for help and run from the room. But I was too far under the heat. Right.
Coming out of the ether now.
Gordon, dear. Gordon, listen. It's all over. Do you hear me? The operation is finished. You're all right.
Sally, is that you?
Yes, Gordon. And you're back in your room. The operation is over. How do you feel?
My head hurts a little. What have I got on my face?
Bandages. They'll have to stay on for a week or 10 days. After that...
Could I have been dreaming?
What?
Where is Dr. Johnson?
I'm here, my friend.
Then what a dream. Gimpy.
I do not like to be called that.
I suppose you think you've gotten away with something. You've made it impossible for me ever to see again. Well, that won't help you a single bit. I'll still get you if it's the last
Gordon,
I ever...
Dr. Johnson said you would be all right.
All right. They'll take the bandages off in a week or 10 days. And by that time, he'll be thousands of miles from here.
Not quite that far, my friend.
Then you admit...
Yes. I do.
And what about that woman? The woman you murdered?
My wife. For 6 years, I'd asked her to give me a divorce. Last she agreed after I'd given her... practically everything I owned in the world except my surgical instruments and my cane. But when I saw her demands would never end and she'd always be asking more, I had to kill her.
You've as good as convicted yourself by confessing all this to my aunt and me.
Yes, I know that.
I was the only witness to your crime. In the operating room this morning, you could have seen to it that I would always be a blind witness.
My friend, I considered that. Yes, I even tried many times to kill you. I thought about it again as I started to operate. But you were my patient then. I've been a doctor for a good many years. My practice was the one good thing left in my life. I could not betray it, even to save myself.
Doctor, I owe you a deep apology.
In a week, you will have the use of your eyes. In a few years, as you grow older, you will see many things more clearly. I'm ready, officer.
Then we better be going, doctor.
Seven days later, they took off the bandages. gradually the world came back into focus. The shining brown eyes of my Aunt Sally, the white sheets of my hospital bed, the blue sky outside my window, the rainbow of flowers next to my bed. And since that afternoon, I have never seen, and I probably never will see, the man who gave me back my sight.
Today's Grand Central Station drama, The Man I'll Never See, was written by Sanford Pleasant and starred Donald Buca as Gordon Gray, with Evelyn Vardon as Aunt Sally and Raymond Edward Johnson as Dr. Johnson.